Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, everybody. Porch Talk. Jake Browning, Colton Montgomery, Austin Cherry, shirtless. Cameron Allen. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Doing great. Very shirtless.
Pretty good.
Yeah, doing great. Doing great. I don't think they have better make better weather than they make today. I don't think they make it better than that. Maybe it had a little more breeze to it.
Yeah.
But
a little bit more, but you know.
But it's a beautiful day, it really is.
It's a basking in the sunlight type day.
If it wasn't already set up out right here, we'd probably be out there on the porch and we would have a true porch talk.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's porch easy.
And we should do that next time. My only concern is just being right off the highway, maybe you getting some of that feedback
from me. Are we here for it?
You know.
It's all about being on the porch.
The back porch is a good setup.
That may add
too.
To it. Back porch too.
But, you are a man of many porches.
He's got a table on the back porch too.
All the porches.
Yeah. A table we can get it.
That's a porch I haven't even seen yet.
Yeah. We should have done that.
We should have done that.
From the get-go.
Yeah.
My porch is pretty cool. I just don't have any tables out there.
Next time that we...
It goes all the way from the front to the back, all the way
around. Oh, you got a wraparound, dude.
Yeah, and it's wide too. It's really nice for grilling, have everybody outside. Mm-hmm. Out there with me grilling, it's nice.
Where do you like to do most of your hurting yourself activities?
Wherever it finds me, I guess. I hurt myself all the time.
He doesn't find them, they find him.
This particular time, I was in the kitchen making rice and beans. Mm. This time, I was my mom has this dog food container in her garage. And I was filling it full of dog food. It holds 20 pounds of dog food. And I was pushing down on the lid to close it, and the lid shattered and sheared my hands.
So you have a knack for taking things that should be harmless and making them harmful.
In the case of the dog food lid, exactly. But this was a real deal knife. This was a Milwaukee knife.
Oh, yeah.
And you were starting fires on your dryer.
Yeah.
Nothing's more innocent than rice and beans. I mean,
yeah, it's quality meal. I added some of that government cheese to it. Yeah.
I think Sigmund and Freud should have wrote a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure.
Sigmund Freud don't know nothing about rice and beans.
That government
beans
cheese.
And then
my rice just started boiling pretty much when I did this. And I wrapped it up so quick and tied paracord around it to stop the bleeding. And through that, I'm just I kept cooking. I mixed that rice up and put it in a bigger pot.
Was it just for you?
Yes.
Okay.
This is probably about a quarter of a pound of rice and a whole can of kidney beans. And then I boiled it and put it in a Pyrex fucking pie dish. And I sliced up some more of that cheese and put it on top and put it in the oven on broil.
To go when I have to die. I'd like to fall asleep in a dream of your mind. Drift down your canyons, they're so vast and wild. Neural synapse snapped in your back. Flesh, blood, and wine. I feel like I have been around here before. Deja vu, waking up on the bathroom floor. I've seen hell, and I've seen God, and I'm just fine with leaving the both of them behind. Fall asleep in your mind for the rest of eternity. Fall asleep in your mind. I'd like to stay there permanently.
It was good as fuck. Cause when I was cooking the rice and beans, I had a packet of taco seasoning in my pantry, and I was like, "Fuck!"
You ate it right out of the pan, didn't you?
No, I didn't. Well, no, I didn't.
Yeah, you strike me as somebody that would just be out.
I do that a lot.
He does. He'll make a pot of mac and cheese, and he'll just eat right out of there.
Cause I have small, medium, and large pots, and if it's like a small or medium pot, I'll take the whole pot with me, especially when I make ramen, because I like to conserve those juices in there.
Oh, tell us a little bit more about those juices. A lot of people just pour it down the drain.
Well, a lot of people are communists. It's fucking stupid. I can't remember the name of the brand. It's like Xing Dong or something. It's like incredibly oriental.
I'm talking about my mother like that.
Huh?
What?
Xing Dong, but it's like creamy chicken, and they sell it at Walmart, and it's like $8 for four of them. It's fucking delicious.
Xing Dong.
And it comes with two, it's not like your regular ramen, folks. It comes with two seasoning packets. One is like
straight regular sodium seasoning,
and the other one's like spices and probably like some MSG or something, but they come out so like juicy and like the broth is real nice and thick. So good.
Yeah, man. Why are we so up in arms over MSG?
Yeah,
it's good.
Because it sounds like the name of a drug, but it's not. Like, dude, you want to do some MSG?
And it's wild. Like, I've been to those, like, Oriental Chinese restaurants, whatever, and, like, the table over will be like, no MSG. And, like, it's clearly on the menu. Like, it's gotten to that point to us. Like, there's restaurants around here to where, like, when you look at the asterisk, and if you go down to the bottom of the menu and you look, you should be like, it has MSG and there's nothing that can be done about this. That's the way the meal is prepared.
They make it in bulk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So MSG, as far as I understand it, and correct me here if y'all know better, but like, it is a food enhancer. It does, like, the chemical itself, it makes it to where the stomach can consume more. That's its job. That's what it does.
Yeah, I think.
And in Umi's, I need all the help I can get.
And I'm pretty sure maybe it's something else. I think Raising Cane's is heavy on MSG.
That's why it's so damn good.
Yeah, that's why I probably why it's so good.
That's probably why I can eat so much of it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not the biggest chicken.
It's either. Not, but I still will. You know.
Some of the cornerstones of my life is when I went to Raising Cane's and picked up like 25 pieces of chicken and like two orders of fries and had like sauce out the fucking ass. And I like ate six pieces before I even left the parking lot.
Yeah.
On the way to Zach's house, like at Amory, and I stopped by with like the raisin. When you order, I don't know if you ever ordered like a big order of Raising Cane's, but they give you like a really stiff paper bag to put it in. Mm-hmm. Hell, that's better than Birkin bag. Louis Vuitton, who is that? I got the fucking
what you're describing, Austin, is the Austin tax. If you were charging me to go get this food, the very least of the tax is I will have at least six of those tenders before my arrival.
Well, no, I paid for it. The whole thing. Yeah,
tax yourself.
Yeah, I'm a good cousin. Because, like, I was coming back from Memphis, so I was like, fuck, I'm going to stop by Raising Cane's in Tupelo. And then my little cousin Zach's house is on the way, too, so I might as well stop by, see him. Because every time I see Zach, it's like the most, like, based moments of my life. He's, like, playing Call of Duty, and I'm, like, laying on his bed, like, up against the corner. And, like, this time we had Raising Cane's, fucking gas. My other cousin Hunter, that's who he lives with, he doesn't let us smoke inside. We wait for him to go to sleep and do it anyway. I love that. Like he don't let us vape inside, don't let us smoke weed, nothing.
So I've got a big program that I want to roll out soon. I just found out, like, as we all know, that the W is very
what's it called now?
Exactly, that's where I was headed. Okay. We're not real sure what we're gonna call it. There's an attack also on MSMS.
Yeah, there is.
What?
You're sure?
Well, that school is attached to the W.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, if you pay attention to the way that some of these things are worded with the name change, for whatever reason, MSU wants MSMS.
Well, they're, I think for it's all said and done, they'll have MSMS and they'll have the W.
I think that's where we're at.
I hate to say that, but it's heading towards Mississippi State University Columbus campus.
Yes.
You know? So they there's like controversy over this?
Oh, a lot, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard a little bit about it, but it being like the Mississippi Women's College, me being a man and both genders can go there. I never had a problem.
But going to a high school, going to a college fair, they don't know that. They just walk right by them. You know, they just walk right by a lot of times.
And that's the marketing. That's why they wanted to go to a Windbridge or like what are some of these other name changes.
You don't just alienate the male population. There's a lot of females who don't want to go to school with a school that doesn't have men.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
They want to find some motherfuckers to get into.
It's like Mr. Dave. They want to, you know what I mean? It's like Mr. Dave.
I love the 21st century because like women are out here getting into stuff now.
My proposition is
they'll be having excursions, they deserve the excursions.
Well, I mean, like
by God.
Well, Austin, I mean, you are our history
aficionado
here. Like, who's to say that wasn't always the case? But I mean, who writes the books and who's keeping history?
That is true, because most of history is told from a white man's point of view, like a white male's point of view. Because, you know, I remember this from Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
We're referencing a video game.
Yeah, but at the end of the game, General Shepard said the winners write the history books, and it's very true.
That's always been the case.
It is true. And I mean, it's like most of history is hearsay. Unless it's like a written document, how do we know?
Now, we'll say the Romans, and particularly the Romans and Nazis, for some reason, were really good at keeping records.
They were also good at burning other records.
Uh-huh. It's true. Well, you know what's
really, really funny?
They were really good at that.
I learned this like last week. The pharmaceutical company Bayer, they were a German company to begin with. And I think the Nazis sent them like 150 healthy Jewish women, and they did scientific testing on them. And Bayer wrote them back a letter and said, thank you for the women that you sent. They all died. Can we please get another 150? And they're a multi-billion dollar company today. So next time you're taking aspirin, just know that that was developed through genocide.
Well, I mean, how many other things were like developed for that measure? Oh, I mean, we're practically living through a lot of people dropping dead from blood clots that probably shouldn't have never had them, from a shot they probably should have never took.
I didn't take that, son of a bitch.
Ooh. Well, you knew better.
Yeah.
Fuck no. Because vaccines have been shown to cause autism.
I tell you.
And they kind of cover that up, and they'll say that there's no... Like, the polio vaccine gave a bunch of women cervical cancer.
And not only that, with polio, I mean, and that is what I've heard a lot of people, like, when it comes to polio, to COVID, like, and people who were old enough to remember that, and they talk about the polio vaccine, and they were like, and they survived it. Obviously, it went okay for them, but for a lot of people, it didn't go so okay.
Yeah.
They had physical ailments, or it ended their life a whole lot earlier than what it would have ended.
It was just so early. I mean, the vaccine came out like that, and it's like, I'm not an anti...
Yeah,
I'm
Operation Warp Speed was a fucking mistake.
I tell you what, I had a lot of pressure.
I actually
didn't know about that. Had a lot of pressure at work to get a vaccine, to point that those of us who, because of where I work, those of us who didn't get it, you know, it was got to a point where they pretty much said you have to. There was a point where they did say you have to get it.
They were charging us $50 every pay period. I get paid every 2 weeks. So
they weren't doing that now.
If it wasn't for Tate Reeves, they would still be taking my money.
For not being?
For not being.
That's insane.
Well, what's so crazy about it, man, is like you had all these people that were so anti-government, anti-establishment, but as soon as government, who's linked up to Big Pharma, creates this vaccine that's only been out for... I mean, that shit, it came out like a month after COVID hit.
The fact that was, whatever it is, was there for a long time.
But what I don't get is like how they suddenly, as people are so anti-establishment, anti-Big Pharma, but as soon as a vaccine comes out.
Let me get it. Well, I mean, like how many times, like the only time I ever got the flu shot was when I got the flu.
Me too.
And then I quit getting the flu shot and I quit having to worry about the flu all of a sudden. Kind of weird.
Because the flu ain't that bad. I'll worry about it when I'm like 60.
The flu is bad.
Yeah, well, I guess it depends on who gets it and like how strong you are at the time. I have a good immune system, generally. Now, I'll get sick like once a year or something like that. But like older people, you know, it's definitely more dangerous, definitely more of a risk there.
Yeah.
But I still think when I'm, you know, 80 years old, hopefully I get there, that I would rather risk just getting the flu and dying than all kinds of medical complications from other stuff.
Well, dude, like there has been, like when I had the flu, like that was the only time that I can recall in my life. And I know like man's sickness is a lot different than a lot of things, but I remember wishing I would rather be dead.
Yeah, I will say, I think it's
because really, I mean, like you're throwing up, you're shitting, you got, yeah, you're hot, dude, then you're cold.
I got the flu.
You can't eat.
Coming out both holes.
I got the flu like 3 months ago, and I was like having to lean over into the bad stuff while I was throwing up.
It's weird. Think
that's the worst.
I never had that with the flu.
That's the worst it's ever been for me.
In reality,
I don't wish it on you.
I don't either.
You know, it feels to me like it's been several years, like a long time ago that we were all wearing masks. Maybe like 2 years ago.
But
it feels like it was.
It feels like
at
any moment. It feels like at any waking moment we'll have to go back to that again.
Yeah.
Well, and what sucks is like, I'm not necessarily anti-vaxxer, but you know, it's gotten to the point where I can't say this is 100% true, but there's pretty substantial evidence that there's mercury in vaccines.
Oh yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised. Okay. And then if like, I don't know if y'all listened to the latest Joe Rogan at this point with Cat Williams, when they got to talking about fluoride in the water, and Cat cut that off. Fluoride is in your toothpaste. Mm-hmm. Fluoride is in your drinking water if you have city water.
Yeah.
And now when you think about what we know about fluoride and how it can affect IQ level, it would appear to affect a certain inner city group more than a regular populace. And so you would have to ask the question, is it racist?
Is water racist?
I think everything to do with I think everything to do with like inner city politics is very racist.
They're trying to hold them back.
Oh yeah, because have you ever heard of Booker T. Washington?
Yeah,
his early like in the early 1900s said that like the African American population needs to pull themselves up by themselves, get out and make their own way.
What happened when they did that with Black Wall Street in Oklahoma? The government burnt it down with the ground.
The government burnt it down, and then they started moving drugs into the neighborhoods and liquor stores on every
It would be the same thing equated to what the British Empire did to the Chinese populace with the opioids.
Oh, yeah, got them hooked on opiate.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Like, welfare to me, I feel like that's set up to keep people down because people, because like.
And you ever talked to those people, Austin?
Have like I ever people, talked to those people?
Yeah, I mean.
Not really, but I mean, I've been in like poor circles most of my life. But with my mom being a single mother struggling mm-hmm. her whole life to raise all of us, I don't think she was ever on food stamps. She I mean, she had a decent job. She's a nurse. She made good money, but not enough money to raise three boys by herself.
So with the job that I work in, I work with those people and I'm around those people a lot. And I get to talking to them and I like to talk to these people about aspirations, things that they would like to do.
Yeah.
They have none. They
And that's a problem.
They don't. Like, mm-hmm. Like if there was anywhere in the world, and that's a question I like to ask on this show. Like, after I get done interviewing a musician, like, if there was anywhere in the world that you could go, where would it be? If you ask that person there that's in Section 8 housing, propped up by the government, living off of government food stamps, and is like literally just existing for the most part.
Yeah.
They don't care anything about what's going on in Miami. They don't care what's going on in the news. All they worried about is what's coming in the mail.
Yeah. When the what is it, the first or the third?
Yes.
It's both, ain't it?
Yes.
Well, you know, it's when the first and the third hits. I only know that because of a Waka Flocka and Gucci Mane song.
Well, you know,
the first to the third.
I've lived through that shit a little bit, and there's definitely different levels. But a lot of, you know, I imagine a lot of people that answer that they, you know, they don't have any aspirations because they're just so worried about surviving to the point where.
And I think everybody has dreams, Cameron.
Yeah. I think everybody has dreams. I feel like it depends on the age of the people. Like, I feel like.
Well, I guess so. If you're like 60, there's not much else you can do. Yeah. But I think if you're that age.
Well, these are single moms who are younger or yeah. like y'all are younger than me. But I would say like I would equate these are single moms with probably 2-3 kids in late 20s.
Yeah, that's a little. And them not having any
aspirations. Not an aspiration.
Them not having any aspirations is sad.
My thing with that, though, is they don't even sound like they want to build a better future for their children.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't you say that the government is the daddy?
I'd say in many ways, how it's set up to where if you don't have a father in the home and you rely more on the government like that, it is set up like that to where you need to rely on the government to take care of you and do that thing. And I kind of take it personally, sort of, because, you know, paying taxes and whatnot, I feel like our taxes could be allocated better to, like, helping homeless veterans and stuff like that. And not to say they're perfect either, because I'm sure there's a lot of them who don't try to get a job and that kind of thing. But at the same time, give them some kind of help. And I don't think that help should be limitless, like it is in a lot of situations.
My only issue with that is I feel like our tax dollars go to a lot worse shit than
welfare. And they shouldn't. I'm on that standpoint, too.
Way worse shit than welfare.
Like foreign wars.
To your point, right now, the latest bill that got struck down by Congress, which was going to be DOA anyway, they labeled it the border bill. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, when you pay attention to politics, and I know probably most people do not, I do.
Yeah, I do.
But when you actually look at the bill, it had absolutely, when you look at the money, nothing to do with the American border. It had everything else to do with the Ukraine and Israel border.
Mm-hmm.
With 85% of the money, we're talking billions of dollars of our taxpayer dollars mm-hmm. going over there. While our southern border, you want to talk to me, how, name one family, name one person in your life right now that has not been affected by the fentanyl crisis that came up through that southern border. Okay, we just had a girl who was brutally raped and killed in Athens, Georgia, at the University of Georgia, by a illegal immigrant who come up from the southern border
yep.
from El Salvador, yep. and nobody gives a shit.
Is that the one that was out running?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And her friends were concerned.
Yeah.
And she never come back, and like her friends called, and that's how they found her.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
It's wide open, coming in and wrecking yeah. our towns.
And I have no issue with someone wanting to come to this country and wanting a better life for themselves, but.
Absolutely.
Do it fucking legally.
I've heard great. Yeah. I've heard great stories about people that have
Vivek Ramaswamy.
I mean, yeah, people that
yeah, and
come
a lot of
the right
people
way and come here and establish a life and everything. But
yeah.
Chink Hooger.
Yeah, and I think it's cool that a lot of people who do come legally support us in like defending our borders.
Well, that's also it's a cultural thing. When you go through the proper steps of becoming an American, if you look at the tests that you have to take, it will make you a patriot.
Kind of assimilate a little bit. Now, one thing I don't necessarily agree with are the tests, but I think, or kind of like on the side, that I think every American should have to pass that test. Like when you,
I think if you, you want to vote, absolutely.
Definitely.
Because look, you should have to pass a civics test.
I think when you get out of high school, you should either A, get in the military, or B, have to pay that pass that test. And then those are your options. And
a lot of these, a lot of legal immigrants, like you said, you have to, when you have to take that test, not illegal immigrants,
Legal immigration.
Yeah, illegal immigration, they have to do that test. A lot of those immigrants, once they got through that process, they can tell you more about American policy and American history than a lot of young people born and raised in America.
Well, I can tell.
I think that's a shame. Everybody should know where they come from. Everybody should know the history of their country and how this country was founded. Not always the best, because Americans and Europeans coming in and like kind of taking from the Native Americans, but at the same time, the Native Americans were doing it to each other. The Apache and everyone, they were warring tribes.
That is a point.
Not to the point of genocide, though.
Not to that point.
Not to the point of genocide. There are 9 million Native Americans in the world and 5 million in the U.S.
Now, I will say that I don't think that it should have been taken to that extremity. And like what Andrew Jackson did with the Trail of Tears, that was a bit excessive. Like, I think they should have just, left them alone, let them assimilate naturally. And, I think that they did too many steps to try to just push them out.
Well, historically, just push them to the side. Historically, when Columbus set foot here, not just him, when a lot of people first set foot here, they were greeted with open arms.
Yeah.
They were greeted with open arms. They were taught how to do things they couldn't do it for. And in return, they were murdered.
Yeah, I do think that's crazy because they helped us a lot when we first got here, and we just turned around.
And they would have continued to help. And there were warring tribes, but that's just like saying anybody's going at war. We might as well kill them all. They're killing each other anyway. But that's like fatalities in a war versus a genocide. That's
very defenseless civilians.
Yeah, I mean they didn't have guns and shit. What were they gonna do?
Yeah. Now I do lean towards that. Like how they went about it probably isn't the right way. But there's always going to be a bigger, badder person, especially back in those times, who's going to take your land by force and stuff. Because before that, it was happening for thousands of years, even in Europe.
I mean, yeah. But, it's still,
Yeah. I get where you're coming from, Cameron, because I do know, necessarily how they went about it wasn't exactly the right way if they wanted to be peaceful about it.
And that's
it was kind of normal in those times.
And then, I have, not only that, but, it was a complete stripping of... Like, they had people, they were advertising in newspapers, go kill a bison, go kill a buffalo.
Yeah, and they killed the buffalo just strictly for the reason to get rid of Native Americans.
They killed them for that reason, and
and just for sport, that's mostly what they because the United States sent the army to kill buffaloes, just so the Native Americans would leave.
And not only that, you have so many natives today that are stripped of their tribal names that because they were put in boarding schools.
And I think also that we should give them a lot more help. Like the Native American tribes, I think they should definitely be helped a lot more by the United States.
Yeah.
But also the sovereign the same
land
time,
thing. The sovereign land thing is bullshit because it's okay, you have this land and it's yours, but there's no jobs on it. Okay, well we'll build casinos. Well, we're going to tax that,
Yeah, because that's stupid. Yeah, at least give them something to build off of and try to make something of themselves.
Yeah, but most reservations are shitty land.
Y'all ever spent a lot of time down in Philadelphia?
I've been to Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. Philadelphia is one of the better reservations.
That's what I was going to say. The one over in Alabama, it's not as big or as well known. It's just a little bit south of Birmingham. Mm-hmm. Indian Reservation, to where they have the casino, to what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see, the Indian populace, or Native American, whatever, and, the young teenagers who are going to school at Philly Public, they're working at McDonald's, or you'll see them at the Neshoba County Fair from time to time. And, to your point, Cameron, I think, as bad of a rap as Mississippi gets, Philadelphia casinos down in Philadelphia, Mississippi, that's a pretty well-run machine.
Philadelphia is one of the more prosperous Indian reservations.
Like, I know Wind Creek over in Alabama ain't doing great at all.
Yeah, but most of them, like, that's where people get the assumption, well, they have casinos. Well, we live here, and the closest reservation has a casino. They all don't have them. And even if they do, it's like, okay, so what, they have one job. Everybody else is just a job.
Imagine, like, I remember taking field trips in high school to Moundville, just outside of Tuscaloosa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ever been out there?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Pretty cool.
So, and I remember, like, we went out there, like, two or three times. And could you imagine, like, being, like, second or third generation and you're a Native American working and, like, giving those tours? And, like, you just see just all these different people passing through. And, like, it's basically a tourist trap or, like, a tax-funded thing by the government for these schools to bring them out. But, like... What I would actually like to tell you if I could actually speak my mind.
Yeah.
And I wish they could. I wish there was more, like, Indian-run things like that.
It's such a hard deal, man, because I'm, like, when it comes to just everything, like, what our tax dollars go to, what they don't go to, who's to blame for it.
The Pentagon hasn't passed an audit. In, like, the history of the Pentagon.
Bottom line, I think everything is clearly orchestrated. They want people to depend on the government. They want people. So, like, you can't get mad at the folks that are depending on the government because they're, in a way, generational victims of what has been put into place here. It's like they are the template for what the government wants every family and every home to be, like, under control. They get sent a certain amount of money every month so that they can buy this certain amount.
I think they want to push us to... either socialism or, like, full-fledged communism.
You know, a lot of people get real scared about that, and I don't dismiss that because of what I consider to be a human right, Austin, mm-hmm. is if I were to go into those woods, everything that I could do in those woods on my own is my human right. Mm-hmm. I have the right to free speech. I have the right to protect myself. I have the... And go on down the list. Think of all the things that you have a full right to do in the middle of the woods where no one else is around.
That is
a human right. Now, when you start thinking about things such as healthcare being a human right, that is someone else's labor that you are trying to tell me that should be free.
Yeah.
Now, am I saying that healthcare should be... godly expensive as it is right now? No, there should be a better way.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is so much of your money goes to Big Pharma rather than the doctors. The doctors get paid a hell of a lot too, but that's the biggest problem. The medical industry and Big Pharma need to separate.
I think doctors being paid a lot is pretty fair.
Yeah, it's very fair. It's a lot of school.
How many years you go to school to do that?
I think 12 or 14.
It's 12. That's a lot.
And that goes to, like,
a lot of money you got to pay back, man.
And the DEI thing that we have going on, the diversity, equity, inclusion, you see it in airports. You see it with the planes flying. You see it in university. You see it in all these different fields. And so, like... to our doctor, like, I do absolutely want the guy who has been studying medicine 12, 14 years to work on my body because why? He's well versed in the arts.
Exactly.
And I don't care what color or what gender or if they think that they are a member of the orangutan clan, as long as they're good at their fucking job.
Yeah.
Now, granted, like, if we're flying planes, I don't want someone to hire you just because of the color of your skin. I want them to hire you because you are the very best at what you do.
Absolutely. You're holding my life.
It's meritocracy.
And a lot of other people's lives in your hand when you fly this plane.
I don't want them, and I wouldn't, you know, I guess I can't speak for anyone else. I wouldn't want to be, I want to be hired because they thought I was the best candidate for the job. That's why I don't want you to hire me out of pity. I don't want to be hired out of pity.
And I don't. That's why I really don't believe in reverse racism. I don't think that's like a. Honestly, I don't believe in reverse racism. As in, like, that's not a thing. They just kind of made that up.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong, but, like, I think we give it power when we talk about it.
I mean, that's true, but
But how else are you to dispel it?
That's true, and, like, I feel like just talking against it, saying, like, that's not really what I'm for, coming forward as, like, a regular American person just saying that's not what I believe is the right way, I feel like that's the best way to really kind of, I guess, go against it. But it's kind of hard to do, like you do, like you said, like if you talk about it, it gives it traction, people are thinking about it. And honestly, I think we talk about race entirely.
Well, I mean, that's what Morgan Freeman said. You know, Morgan Freeman, he's out of Kosciuszko. I mean, famously, he was interviewed by Don Lemon from CNN about racism. Mm-hmm. And he was dumbfounded when Don Lemon brought it up. And he was like, you know, we give it more credence and more reputability when we talk about these things.
That's true.
We should focus more on what we do on the daily, because like the interactions I have at the gas station and when I am getting gas and opening doors and going in and doing business, and I am interacting with three or four different races, and it is the most beautiful thing, and that is one of the greatest things that I believe makes America great.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we have zero problem.
You like don't give it a second thought. You hold the door for them just because there's a person behind you.
We're all human.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one thing I like about Mississippi, though, because there's a lot of different cultures here. And I feel like
people grew up together. It's not as segregated as other places.
Because like Mississippi is about almost 50-50 white and black population with a little bit of everything else sprinkled in there. It's like almost 50-50. And I feel like these places up north who try to push on us that we're such racists or whatever, they didn't have to grow up integrated with everyone.
Well, see, that's the way I feel about it.
And, like, I think it's a beautiful thing being integrated with people of different cultures and stuff and learning all that and being cool with everybody.
Well, let me pose this to you, and it's a musician question, Jake. I haven't heard from you in a while. Cameron, you too. Down in Bentonia, Mississippi, around Jackson, the Bentonia style blues, okay? You have the Delta blues. There's a minor difference between the Bentonia style and Delta style. It comes with a thumb, a little bit of tuning, the guitar. Now, twice every year, in June and September, they'll do two festivals. One to honor the Bentonia Style Blues Festival. Another to honor the Blue Front Cafe, which has a blues marker. Historical blues marker.
Like the blues trail?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I'm talking about. People will fly.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started on your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Flying from all over the world to attend both of those events. And there was a guy from Britain, and I just so happened to be standing next to him and talking to him. And he said something I found fairly profound. We'll see what y'all think about this. Mm-hmm. If you want to understand the world, the first thing you need to do is go to Mississippi. Why would someone from Britain say that about the world?
Because the blues started here. And that it is responsible for all of Western music. That is it.
That is true.
It started here.
Yep. Name one genre of music that wasn't affected or impacted by the blues.
I can't.
If it wasn't completely created out of the blues.
I can't.
I mean, out of the
blues. Even jazz.
Out of the blues, you got rhythm and blues. Out of rhythm and blues, you got
rock and roll.
So.
And country.
Country music.
White man's blues.
That's when they start singing about railroads, trucks, their mama, the girl that got away, and their dog.
Dead dog.
The bear.
That's right.
Bear in the back of the bed.
But anyway, let's run this.
A little bit of cocaine, too.
Yeah. You know?
A bit of cocaine, the devil.
But yeah,
big topic in blues.
That's a good point you brought up.
A lot of religious bases in that.
Well, you know, I feel like a big thing, you know, with it. I haven't even been up north a lot. Closest I've really been is the Midwest, but even there, I mean, the segregation level compared to here is insane. Like, nobody's hanging out with each other.
Everyone from, like, and I think you're exactly right, when I travel, like, Midwest or wherever I get to go, and I'm always grateful to go, when they figure out, and it's not hard to figure out because of my accent, but when they figure out where I'm from the South, they like to talk about racism.
Yep.
And then when I see that the way that their communities are living and how just segregated they are, and I was like, you do understand that what you're doing now, we stopped doing.
Yes, sir.
Hundreds
years
ago.
You know, I feel like they're just out of touch with it. They like to talk about it, jabbing their mouths about it, but they don't understand that we hang out with each other.
Yeah.
Like, I went to Colorado, beautiful place, gorgeous. I saw one black person there the whole time I was there. I was terrified. I was like, these honkies are going to kill me.
like touching on what you said, like what I was saying earlier, I feel like they're, like they have such liberty to talk about it and like tell us what we need to do.
But they're not like, acting. Like they don't practice what they preach.
These like racial issues and stuff aren't at their front door.
I think of what you said, it's profound, the fact that somebody from outside of the United States of America
found that Mississippi was the place to go.
Mississippi was the place to go, and he said that.
Think you could go to Los Angeles, you could go to New York City, which used to be the apple of the world, right? The Big Apple,
supposedly.
It's like
big melting pot.
If you went to New York City, you took a bite out of the apple, and it was the idea that was everything that the world had to offer. But at the current time, and that exchange happened 2 years ago, if that. And he said, if you want to feel what the world is like, you got to go to Mississippi.
I feel like Tennessee and Louisiana are good examples of that too.
Especially Louisiana.
But, okay, let's take this Louisiana. What did they? What is it? It used.
My bad.
Somebody yelled out flaccid penis whenever it starts.
That was the first thing that it happened.
Lagging.
It's still lagging.
Oh, I thought you were saying, come on, like you wanted me to start talking.
Oh, no. I was talking to the computer.
Oh.
Yeah. So the reason why I showed up here exactly at 1 o'clock, I had to watch Adam Sandler's new film, Spaceman.
Is it good? I've heard it was pretty.
I love it.
I love when he does serious stuff.
And that was my whole point of watching it. With Spaceman, and he's an explorer. He's an astronaut, and he's going to this cloud that has been obstructing the Earth's view for years, and they're trying to figure out what is it, and then you later find out that the South Koreans are right behind him and going there, and the spider that you saw in the preview, that was a figment of his imagination, maybe, not going to spoil it, is actually tracking him to Life's Real Purpose. So it's very much like Click or Uncut Gems, to where it's a very serious production. And
Uncut Gems, it was fantastic.
I like this film a lot because, I mean, I think this is something that I get lost in the weeds a lot with, like, and the point of the film, without spoiling it, is when your ambition and whatever your drive and whatever it is that you set out to do with your life, the people who are closest to you, whether it be a family member or a friend or your husband or wife, whatever that is all the promises that we make to them about carrying them with us as we go. Mm-hmm. And him being an astronaut on a solo mission, obviously he could not bring his wife.
Right.
And so the whole point with him losing his mind in space was the fact that he had lost sight of what it meant to be human and human relation, and that he should have been keeping the promises that he was making to those that he loved the most instead of letting them down.
Wow. I need to watch that, man.
It's a great film. And I mean, and how often is it, dude? I have seen this, like, family members have passed on, like, since I've started the trajectory. I mean, like, once you exit high school and you start to figure life out for yourself, and then on top of that, you have dreams and ambitions and things that you want to accomplish or do with your life, mm-hmm. Your life's work. And how easy is it for us to just put Ghost Man on third and just sideline people, or however you want to put it, to where... Now, yeah, I'll see you this weekend, okay? But, like, what I'm doing right now is... It's I'm doing what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, like, this whole band thing, it'll eventually run its course and we'll make it or we won't. And I'll get back in touch with you later. Or this whole podcast venture. Well, I mean, whatever it is, the business venture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how easy is it to be so self-involved and, lack of a better word, maybe selfish and just pursuing your dream and your vision that you forget all the other people in your life. And that was the point of the Spaceman film.
That's a great...
Wow.
That's a great topic. Because, I mean, I know I've been that person. I know plenty of people who are still that person. It's just like, you know, you're so focused on your goals, and that's great and all, but you have to keep yourself grounded and keep your relationships, or you'll go insane.
You have to...
And that's what happened to him.
Remember how to be a human being.
We'll go insane.
Yeah. And to remember to follow the golden rule.
Follow the Ten Commandments.
What, do not lock?
Ten Commandments. the golden rule.
Yeah, what's the golden rule?
Treat others as you... Doing others you'd have them doing unto you.
Yeah.
So...
I've always found the perception of people's golden rule kind of interesting, because some people are like, do not lie, like what you're saying, and just have the different things.
When you think about any action you commit or anything that you do on any day, if it affects someone else, and, you know, the way it affects them, would you like it or enjoy it if it affected you like that?
Exactly.
Yeah. I feel like it does, like, kind of empower the rest of the commandments.
I think it's just, yeah.
Well, it's all meant to intertwine together. That's why Jesus was put here.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus was supposed to live out what God wanted.
It's supposed to be
As well as I was making this point to my friend the other day. You know, the Bible is so complicated. It's been interpreted so many different ways. And I feel like people, and while I admire theology and theologists and people that go into the depths of different things, I feel like people get too caught up in nitpicking the way certain things should be interpreted, rather than, I feel like one of the biggest reasons Jesus is here is to simplify things, whereas if you accept me into your heart.
Answer a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Clear up a lot of things, because, mm-hmm. I think... you could sit here and read it 100 different ways, but I think a lot of times you know what it's saying sometimes.
The core,
there's certain things in the Bible that are pretty black and white, you know.
Mm-hmm. I have a lyric and a song. Mm-hmm. And let me pull it up so I don't butcher it, but I thought it was, I think it's very in the moment with this conversation.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
You have certain things that it says, lays out in the Bible.
Yep.
And
them red letters, man.
And a lot of that stuff is, you know, you may not like it. And it may not seem like it applies to today's world, but just because the world, just because things around you, your environment, things like that have changed, it doesn't make any of those teachings less valuable.
Well, I mean, and those are not bad rules to live by. Like, if morally, and I think that's the biggest thing, and I think that's the encroach on, like, American culture right now, as we have further and further stepped away from, and I don't even agree with this term for the most part, with Judeo-Christian value. There is nothing more obtuse than Judaism and Christianity.
Yep.
Although they are, like, even Islam, those are all Abrahamic faiths if you look at, like, where they come from. But Judaism and Christianity have nothing in common. You could say, well, they have the first five books of the Bible. No, they don't. They don't look at Abraham the same way that a Christian looks at Abraham. They don't look at Moses the same way that a Christian looks at Moses.
Moses is close to their Christ figure, from what I've been told. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, he was the guy that was provided the law. Mm-hmm. And then, like, when you look in Judaism, or even if you look into Islam, but just Judaism, it is more about the spoken and oral tradition. And that was a part of why Jesus came, was, like, the Talmud and all these things that Judaism is teaching and preaching, and, like, and how they were, like, it's like what people would call today the bourgeoisie versus the haves and have-nots, right? It's like these were the people who had the faith and who were a part of the flock versus those who weren't, because you weren't following these arbitrary rules for, and who the hell ever even said it was the standard anyway. But like to that, I finally have it pulled up. It's inspired, it's a wedding ring. I need a friar to teach me how to sing. I want you to notice. I want you more than me. I need a sermon. Tell me how to be. And I mean, like, and that was a song, and that's a call to, like, where we are right now. It's like, I don't think we need any of that shit, really. Like, if you looked at the Ten Commandments, it's like, if everyone on this earth followed those Ten Commandments, no one would ever do another person wrong.
Nope.
We would all live in perfect harmony.
Yeah.
The Ten Commandments, as well as accepting Christ, like, those are, like, the two big staples. And everything else is cool to talk about, but I feel like people... My biggest takeaway from different stories in the Bible, the story of David, Moses, King Solomon, all these people, is, like, God picked the most imperfect people to be his heroes. And I feel like that is a big... A big theme is not, don't judge people. No one's better than anybody else, because... Mm-hmm. I mean, there are certain people who are depicted as heroes in the Bible who were murderers, who did horrible things.
Saul. Who later was transitioned into Paul.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, even original Saul, like, when you think about the story of David.
Right.
I mean, David was the king to come. And look at how Saul in the Old Testament did everything in his power to keep David out of power. And, I mean, there was a story of where he caught him relieving himself in a cave.
Yep.
And Dave snuck in and cut a little bit off of his coattail and then handed it back to him just to prove, I could have had you if I wanted you. I could have ended your life, and I chose not to.
And even with David was a great king, but even he wasn't perfect. He sent a man to war to die so he could have his wife.
He sent a man, and he was coveting that guy's wife so hard. It was like, put Uriah, I think his name was, in the very heat of the battle on the front line. Why? I just really want to make sure he fucking dies so I can bang his wife.
Pretty much.
And then the first kid died.
And that was punishment.
I feel like the Ten Commandments, right, like the way you should live and stuff like that. And everything after that in the Bible is more of like just teaching lessons.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because I'm agnostic, actually. But I
kinda, you're without knowledge? You're without knowledge?
What is that?
That's agnostic.
I guess so, then.
Without knowledge?
Without knowledge? Or did you say without knowledge?
No. That's agnostic. That's what that definitely means. A is without, and the Gnostic is knowledge.
I think that's probably the original meaning, and it's turned into something.
Yeah, because that's not really how I believe. Because, I mean, I know a good bit about the Bible.
That's what the word means. You know?
Oh, okay. Well, that's not necessarily what I like.
Well, then you're not agnostic.
I mean, maybe spiritual then, I guess. Because I don't necessarily...
You don't align yourself with one religion, but you...
Because, like, primarily, I align myself more with Christian as far as, like, the teachings and believings, as far as you should do the right thing by people, the lessons that the Bible teaches and stuff like that, as far as, like, the storytelling, like, what will happen to you kind of if you do bad things, and kind of like what Jesus went ahead and did, like making friends with, like, the worst of people and, like, kind of turning their lives around. I kind of agree with that, but I'm not so sure on if it's all true, that kind of thing. Like, it's been interpreted 100 times, like, what all, like, the word of Christ is supposed to mean to, like, to me. But I acknowledge it as possibly being true, but not necessarily. So I wouldn't say... I mean, that's kind of enlightening what you told me, that it's, like, supposed to mean, like, without knowledge. Because I know a lot about it, because that's just how I was raised. But I don't necessarily believe 100% if that's exactly how things are supposed to be. Because, like, I'm not going to come here and say that I know where I'm going when I die, or if there's anything at all. And part of me, part of my belief is being perfectly content that if I die tomorrow, there's nothing.
Yeah. That's where faith comes in.
We'll see science.
Well, yeah, and I feel like a lot of what Christianity, I feel like a lot of it is kind of like in borderline believing, not believing, because something will happen in your life, I feel like, that will make you believe one way or the another, like God, like, sending you a sign to say you need to follow me, or you go into heaven.
I think we do know, and I think we've demonized it, and I thought we talked a little bit about it when we were talking about fluoride being in the drinking water and toothpaste. We know not only can fluoride make your IQ lower, but it also dulls your pineal gland, which is your third eye, so to speak. And so, like, think about something as natural as a psychedelic mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we think about creation, and, like, this earth, the sun, it's not the biggest sun there is, but it's the best sun
for
that
us.
We know of. For us.
Sure.
And this globe that we live on is the earth, and it's the best thing that we've ever known because we live here. And all the thought that went into, like, every little thing, like a cow has four stomachs to chew up cud and be able to digest that, and then we slaughter the cow and we eat the cow and we drink its milk, down to, like, little, every little thing. And, like, even if you want to take the atheist side, or if you want to take the scientific side of things, and you want to talk about those processes, and then you want to neglect that there could be intelligent design, that doesn't add up to me. Like,
it doesn't make any sense.
When you say something like that, it's telling me that you openly have a problem with God.
Like
you are pissed at God. It's not that you don't believe him or his existence. It's more of a fact that you hate him.
Yeah. And I'd say, like, where I come from, as far as, like, the scientific side, like, I believe in some of it. But, like, you know, everything we've been told, I don't know if you necessarily would be able to believe it or not, because a lot of it's, like, orchestrated by people who are kind of, I don't know, they would want us to believe one way or another the best of their interest.
help us roll them.
Oh, we're lost in the sauce.
Hell, I gotta pee again.
We're rolling, go ahead.
I mean, just like everything they've told us, because, like, you know, us being, I'm not sure, how old are you?
33.
Because, I mean, even then, like, with the history of the world, you're still relatively young. It's not like we've been around for everything. So we kind of just have to live off of what we've been told has happened and what we have been told is right or wrong. Like, we really don't know 100% because we weren't there. So it's just kind of hard to say one way or another.
Is, well, I think that's nature.
Yeah.
And that's natural inclination. Like, it is it's remarkably hard for me to step outside and look at nature and not give credit to something.
Yeah, and it could be just like nature doing its thing, and like what some scientists say.
Well, I mean, think about the honey. What about the honeybees?
Yeah, honeybees are very important. They work interlock with most systems in nature to give us all food.
It's the most important insect intrinsically that is. If they die, like, everything dies.
Yeah, we're fucked.
Yeah. You know, kind of, the way I feel about it, because I don't believe everything that's in the Bible. I think a lot of it has been tampered with, as well as whole books being taken out.
There's several books they found, and some included in the Bible.
But that being said,
I think it's the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Dead Sea Scrolls. I mean, even if you want to say the Book of Enoch, I mean, Cat Williams tapped into it when he went on Joe Rogan this past week. There's a lot of people believe why the Book of Enoch was taken out, because it was given credit to black people.
Yeah.
That Moses was actually albino.
If I'm not mistaken, Book of Enoch is still in the Catholicism belief.
He is.
I've got a pretty unique perspective on everything we've been talking about in terms of religion, because I have Jewish family, I got Catholic family, I got Baptist down the road. I'm a product of all of it. It's pretty cool hearing y'all's perspective on all of this.
What's yours? I mean, from all that, with all that influence on how all this ties.
What do you believe?
I believe in the red letters. I believe that what he says, and I choose to believe that what he says and how I apply it in my life will send me to heaven.
Look,
and I have faith in that.
My whole life, no matter what else I read in the Bible, before I had the perception of religion, I'm talking about the young age of 3. I had a deep, I just had a love for Christ, and I didn't know why. My parents said they would take me to a Jesus play, and I'd run up to the stage like he was Spider-Man. Like, that's just like a deep feeling I have. Even though I feel like there's a possibility that our God is the same God that other cultures talk about. Absolutely. And I'm not even talking about, outside of Judaism.
Oh, I'm totally for that, by the way.
I mean, it's just people want to make it different, but it's just another cultural. You think he only visited Jewish people? I mean, there's so many other cultures he could have visited, and what they're interpreting is very similar to Christianity. They just don't say the word God. They're saying God in their language oftentimes. I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, like, to bring feedback, like what you're saying, I mean, believing not only the red letters, how you apply it to your life, I think is a big part of it. And I think of the biggest part of it, I think, is the relationship with God and with Christ.
Absolutely. Putting Him first.
Yeah. And making that a part of the two best ways I know how to do it is to pray and to read the red letters.
And apply it.
Yes.
That's how you, I believe, like, when you go to connect with God, it is through prayer and reading His Word. And then, like, there is the second part, the application. The application, and that's why I like hanging out with you boys, really. I feel drawn to y'all. There are people in this world that I have a draw to that have a light about them, if that makes sense.
Yes, a lot of sense.
And those people typically have something in common And like what I would say about that is I believe that they were touched by God. Mm-hmm. And like those are the people that I want to keep close and in good company. And not to ostracize those who aren't, because I would consider us to be the people who are to influence and to help get people to find God.
Yeah.
And even if it's, you know, a completely different perception from what I believe, because like, I mean, my outlook on God is like, I honestly feel I love God, and I'm not even going to say that God is imperfect, but I feel like Old Testament God and New Testament God are very different people.
Well, you often hear a God of wrath versus a God of love.
Well, I feel
I don't see a difference.
Well, see, here's the biggest...
I see a father.
Here's the biggest thing, though. Here's the biggest thing. I feel like despite how powerful God is, despite how knowledgeable God is, He did not know the temptation and what it meant to be human until He, in a way, lived through His Son. After Jesus died, resurrected, and then went back to heaven, God's outlook is very... Because God's outlook and Jesus' outlook are... They... Until the death of Christ, the resurrection, and then He went back to heaven, they were kind of contradictory.
I think God knew everything it meant to be human because He created us. I believe like Jesus Christ not only to be like the Son of Man and the Savior of humanity and His works to be absolutely perfect, but also His work to be a proof of concept of God on earth.
Absolutely. That is the purpose of Jesus.
Yeah.
He was proof. He's proof of concept.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
What I always find the most interesting about Jesus is the fact that at the end of the day, it wasn't the Pharisees who decided to kill Him. It wasn't Ronald. It was the people who voted to kill Him because they wanted Him to be this benevolent conqueror who was going to take back Israel from Rome.
Caesar had, Pilate had washed his hands. If it wasn't for the religious people in the crowd, who were predominantly, I would say, Pharisee and Sadducee of the Jewish religion, he would not have been slain that way. Yep. But it was also the will of God, and it was exactly what had to happen.
Yeah, he absolutely
it had to happen.
He absolutely had to. But that being said, I just find it so interesting that at the end of the day, the people decided for Him to be killed simply because He was not the Messiah that they wanted Him to be. He didn't come conquering Rome on a white horse. He came on a donkey.
Wasn't that so funny?
It's hilarious.
I mean, everything about him, like, he was almost like he was the troll of trolls.
For real.
But I mean, but also everything that was spoken or written about him was already talked about in the prophecy in the Old Testament. And he fulfilled it to the letter. He
fulfilled it to
everyone. And like, and even like right now, like we're talking about, I know I've got to wrap this up. I've got to get to work, boys. Yes. But like to tie this up, is like what we're the Book of Revelation, the final book of the Bible, and all these things that John, the Revelator, John the Beloved, you know, when John wrote his gospel, how would he describe himself? He would describe himself as someone who was beloved by God, and he was exiled to the island of Patmos. And I think that was excruciating for him because I believe that John loved people. And like an exile for him was worse than what they did to Peter when they crucified him upside down.
And when they crucified Matthew on an X.
Yeah.
John was crucified.
I mean,
he lived through the crucifixion, boiled, and then they decided to exile.
Yeah. And so like, and that was the worst thing that they could possibly come up with against this man. And when we look at the Book of Revelation and we're trying to translate the end of times and we're trying to look at Neuralink with what Elon Musk is doing, and then we look at all these freedoms and liberties that this great nation brought to us and how they are slowly eroding, whether it is a First Amendment right or a Second Amendment right. And then like we even down to our cars or even over a sickness to where we were literally talking about people as if they were, what was the word that they used? I have a letter in my truck that gave me free range on the highway during COVID when everything was shut down. I was, what was the word that they used? What is that key word? I had to be there. What's the name of that word? Like, it has to be there. It has to take place. What is that word?
Essential.
Essential. You're an essential worker. I was an essential worker.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Essential. And then when I received that letter, yeah. I was like, what is that saying about everybody else? And I don't agree with that statement at all. It's like all these other people you deem as what?
Unessential.
And so why are they here?
There is a Twilight Zone episode called The Obsolete Man, where everybody must stand trial for a court to decide whether they are obsolete or not. And I feel like we're going down that road.
Okay.
And there's a lot of Twilight Zone episodes like that, honestly, where it's like, shit, that's
really... I used to watch Twilight Zone with my dad. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'd keep bouncing off. I know you got to sign off and everything. I'd keep getting into it, but... Yeah.
Well, let's put a pin there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank y'all, boys.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started on your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.